I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
All right, traffic, here's Pat Butler.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, Elk and Elk is one over $1 billion for their injured clients. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. So far this morning, highway's in good shape for you. Everything nice and light. There is some road work scheduled today downtown by Playhouse Square. Euclid Avenue blocked off until early tomorrow morning, but blocked off in between East 14th and East 18th. This report is brought to you by Spectrum Business.
Spectrum Business does business differently. They don't add phone taxes or hidden fees to their prices. So when they say you can get their best offer ever on internet and phone for only $64.98 per month, that's all you'll pay.
Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
All right, thank you, Pat. Here is your Cleveland 3 News weather forecast and meteorologist Holly Strano. Holly?
Tuesday time, Bill, and we've got patchy fog this morning. Man, oh man, it's pretty dense in spots and... otherwise, expect mainly cloudy skies, giving way to more of a mix of clouds and sunshine. Fingers crossed for some vitamin D. Upper 30s to near 40. 20s tonight and around 40 with mainly cloudy skies tomorrow.
Thanks, Holly. 33 at your severe weather station. News Radio, WTAM, 1100. 5:12, this is Bill Wills. Mike Snyder's got your sports coming up. Scott Scudery's producer extraordinaire alongside. What do you think of this MLB thing?
I think it's very interesting.
You're picking the team you want to play or something?
Yeah, well, the format would include 3 division winners, 4 wild card teams, and with the best team in each league receiving a bye in the division series. Then the remaining 6 teams would play the 3 game series opening round.
I lost you somewhere.
Yes, but the part you're talking about is the 2 divisional winners. The 2 division winners would pick their wild card opponent with all the other selections revealed on a television night. So that's basically the teams with the best
TV.
Yeah,
that's the answer right there.
Reality TV. They want to make it on MLB Network or something like the.
Everybody's just trying to do more than they can.
Like a college selection show. That's kind of how they were. Yeah. Like, you know, so we'll sit there and, you know,
have AJ Hinch be one of the analysis people and. Former manager of the Astros.
Here's the difference, though. This is a team selecting who it'll play. It's not a committee selecting who plays. I just can't see where teams would want to go.
Trevor Bauer might be correct.
Oh,
he was all over Rod Manfred.
I am with Trevor on this one.
All right, so you're going to explain it more. We've got the story at Wilson Center Facebook and WilsonCenter.com.
Yep, you can check it out.
President Trump with a rally, too, last night, right?
Yes, and he decided that he wanted to go to New Hampshire and see what his competition is all about.
And you can see and hear that as well.
Yes, sir.
At Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
5:15, you get sports 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Here's Mike Snyder.
Good morning, Bill. Indians pitchers and catchers report to Goodyear today. Yeah, this gloomy day, cold day here, spring training really getting underway. It's the time of year for optimism, and Terry Francona is just that about this year's try.
You know, we have 4 infielders, they all switch hit. They all pretty much play every day. We got a catcher that won the best defensive award in baseball and loves to run a game. We're going to have to figure out our outfield in spring training. We know that. We're going to have to put our bullpen together. We feel like we have pieces to have a really good bullpen.
And, of course, he feels very good about his starting pitching, and that could include a return by Carlos Carrasco. We will hear from Cookie about that at 5:45. Now, the pitchers and catchers report today. Their first on-the-field workout will be this Thursday. Position players are all due in on Saturday, and the first full squad workout is next Monday. So let spring training begin. Now, you heard Bill and Scooter talking about this plan from Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred looking to find a way to get more more television dollars. That's all this is about. And the plan that's being thrown out there is to have the playoffs go from 10 to 14 teams making it. Indians actually would have got in last year, I believe. Now, that would have, it would also include, though, this bizarre reality TV show in which teams could choose who they want to play in the opening round. Former Indians pitcher Trevor Bauer already blasting the idea via Twitter. He called the proposal absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter. Basically then went on to call the commissioner a joke. Well, the teams with the best overall records will get a bye. And then after that, division winners with the best records, they get to then choose who they would like to face in an opening round series of which they would host all three games. There would be no back and forth. You'd get the home three games and it would be a best of three series. It just sounds hokey to me. I think baseball's got a good system, but I get it. They're looking for more dollars. You want your answer as to why? More dollars. TV contracts are coming up at the end of 2021. They may do something. They're going to tweak something. This seems a little crazy, though, when you look at it. I just can't see teams sitting there saying, well, all right, we want to play the A's or we want to play the Red Sox. I don't see that happening, but that's the plan that's been put out there. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in the news. He met with Browns defensive end Myles Garrett yesterday. Of course, Myles looking to be reinstated. It seems like everything is on track for that to happen, but no decision was made yesterday. The hope for Garrett is to be back with the team for the start of offseason workouts on April 6th. And the Cavs back on the practice floor today as they look to make amends for that 41-point loss debacle the other night. They host the Hawks tomorrow, home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, W.
This theft not only caused significant financial damage to Equifax, but invaded the privacy of many millions of Americans.
Which is why we're investing so heavily in our data security and transforming our technology to make sure that the security is the strongest out there.
As American citizens, we cannot be complacent about protecting our sensitive personal data.
Did the Chinese army do this? Four of their soldiers have been indicted. Bill Zimfer follows up on it this morning. What's the story here, Bill?
Well, yeah, you remember the Equifax breach that many of us were victimized by. Over 145 million Americans had information stolen, like names, birth dates, social security numbers, driver's license numbers. And it turns out now that the Justice Department is pointing the finger at China. A 9-count indictment naming four members of the Chinese military, and they have quite a hacking operation, of course, over there. They go by names like APT-10, like Violin Panda, like The Bug, with the E in the is actually a 3. This hacking operation has been going on for some time, and that's one of the reasons this is not getting a lot of international reaction, Bill, because it's nothing new. In 2018, we indicted two Chinese hackers because of this. In 2014, the Department of Justice charged five members of the People's Liberation Army with hacking crimes. And at that time, there was kind of an agreement signed between the United States on China, pledging to not engage in any type of hacking activities. China vigorously denying this, Bill. They say they are a staunch defender of cybersecurity. In fact, they say it is Washington that engages in large-scale, organized, and indiscriminate cyber-stealing, spying, and surveillance activities. So a little war of words going on here. When it comes down to it, not a lot of impact here. These guys will never be taken into custody, and there has been no evidence that any of this information that was allegedly stolen has been used for any nefarious purposes. Of course, Equifax has agreed to a settlement of over $650 million, but I have some bad news for you, Bill. If you were a subject of this hack, as I was back in 2017, the deadline has passed for getting a payment of up to $125. It passed on January 22nd, if you can believe it, so too late.
Sounds like press conferences and news releases then, as far as the story, and that's about it. Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
New Hampshire.
The election with a capital E.
It's going to happen here.
Let's win.
We're going to win this thing.
Who's going to win?
Let's get it on.
Here's the latest.
Now.
From Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Survive a fourth place finish here in New Hampshire?
Sure I could. Sure I could.
Look, Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden, it looks like a fourth place maybe for him in New Hampshire as they're voting today in the primary. Nationally, new poll out from Quinnipiac has Bernie Sanders ahead of Biden, 25%, Biden 17%. Bloomberg's third nationally among Democrats in this poll. Warren fourth. Mayor South Bend, former Indiana Mayor, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg comes in fifth on this. Political analyst Steve Roberts in. Let's get right to Biden first. I mean, you know, he's pretty much telling everybody, I'm going to lose. Can he afford to keep racking these losses up and trying to spin them?
It's very difficult because all the reports out of New Hampshire show that his crowds are meager. The excitement is just not there. The money's starting to dry up. And he can talk all he wants about being the most electable candidate, leading the national polls. He has a firewall in South Carolina. But clearly, the energy is not there. You and I have talked about this many times, Bill. You look at the Biden campaign, there's never been a spark of vitality there. There's never been an aura of excitement around his campaign. You never hear anybody saying, I'm voting for Joe Biden because he'd be a great candidate or a great president. They say he's an old shoe, as one voter described him, and he's the safe choice, but not the exciting choice. And with the rise of Pete Buttigieg, he is striking sparks of excitement, and it's just drawing the energy away from Biden. And look, he's a very experienced campaigner. He's got a lot of support in the party establishment, but I think the likely outcome is he continues to spiral downwards. Now, he keeps talking about his firewall in South Carolina. The black vote is very important there. That could help him. But the way dynamics work here, when you lose, you lose. And it's very hard to make the argument, I'm the most electable president, when you keep losing.
You know, it's so much emotion, of course. I mean, look, a lot of things can happen, and you know, it is politics. But big picture then. There are people saying, look, I'm going to vote for Mayor Pete. I'm going to vote for Bernie in New Hampshire. Yet, you know, on Friday, the economy still looks good. The jobs report, unemployment. Trump may have had his best political week ever with the acquittal as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're Donald Trump right now, you're riding high. The economy is very strong. And a polling at ABC has shown people are more optimistic about the economy than they've been, more favorable toward Trump's stewardship of the economy than they've been. And that clearly is a very powerful argument in his favor. At the same time, our polls also show that he's still the only president who's never broken 50% in terms of favorable rating. He still has the lowest average favorable rating of any president since polling began 75 years ago. So he is definitely in a stronger position today than he's been. But there are still warning signs. There are still weaknesses. The problem for the Democrats is they can't find a candidate to exploit them, Bill.
Where do you see Bloomberg on this whole thing right now? He does get in the next debate, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he's not getting enough attention. I think that if you look at the dynamic of Iowa and in New Hampshire, if Buttigieg and Sanders lead the field as it looks likely, Warren starts to fade, Biden starts to fade, and people look around and say, do we really want a 70-year-old socialist that's head of the ticket or a 37-year-old openly gay man who's run a city of 100,000? Neither one of these figures is a commanding or compelling or unifying figure in the party. There's the opening for Bloomberg, and that's been his strategy all along. He's been betting. You know, Bloomberg can buy the best data in the world, and he during the spring, he flinched from running, Bill, because the data told him Biden would be too strong. But when he got into the right race, he was looking at data that told him that Biden was a lot weaker than people thought. And this has been his strategy all along. Let them fight it out through the early primaries. There'll be a muddled result, a lot of very unhappy Democrats looking for a savior. And that's how he's positioning himself. He's going to be a very important figure in this race before it's over, I think, Bill.
Political analyst Steve Roberts. Good stuff. Steve, thanks much.
Okay, my friend.
Election with a capital E.
It's going to happen here.
Let's win.
We're going to win this thing.
Who's going to win?
Let's get it on.
Here's the latest.
Now.
From Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Michael Bauer joins me, still waiting on New Hampshire. Now, this is a little more organized. This is a primary. You go in, you vote, hopefully you can get all these things counted tonight, right?
Yeah, and they're doing it the old-fashioned way. Like, one person waits in line, they go work at two different tables, get their vote cast. They have to label what party they're voting for. If they're going to go as an independent, they have to label that as well. And then they have to, if they come in and they vote for Democrat, they're automatically registered. It's a whole process that has nothing to do with apps at this point, at least near as we can tell, Bill. So it's all done by hand right now. There's some interest. You're seeing that there was voting after midnight that has kind of given us some numbers here that don't necessarily indicate that this is the predictive overall of what the state's going to look like, but at least it's a starting point. So far, it's 5 a.m. this morning. Amy Klobuchar leading the pack of Democrats with 29.6% of the vote. But I'll say this, Bill. When I say 29% of the vote, that's 8 votes of the 3 different cities at midnight that voted. So when you start to work your way down the list, Sanders and Warren tied for second place. Then you've got Yang at third. And then there's a 3-way tie for fourth that include Biden, Buttigieg, and other. And the reason other is notable here is there are reports that there are at least 2 write-in votes for Michael Bloomberg, who's not even participating in this particular primary. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out a little bit here as we go through the day, if there are even more of those kinds of calls for write-in votes for Michael Bloomberg, and whether or not Joe Biden is able to make it into the top 3 as he needs to have and as some of the Vegas betting lines currently has him at.
Michael, the people of New Hampshire have had a year or so to think about this. They had a debate they watched and heard on Friday night. I saw a stat, though, into the weekend. I think at least a third of them still weren't sure who they were going to vote for today.
Yeah, a number of people that you've spoken to that we're hearing from are saying, I still don't know. I mean, they knew that today was coming. They knew that they had to have their vote ready to go today. Some of them are saying that they won't literally know until they walk into that booth as to who they're going to cast their vote for. They may have an idea, or they may have an idea of their top 2 or 3, but who they're actually going to cast that vote for, they won't be sure until they actually do cast that vote.
I just hope we're talking about a winner tomorrow morning.
I think we will.
Move on. All right, Michael Bauer on it, New Hampshire today. Michael, thank you. On tech and your smartphone, maybe saving your life or the life of a loved one. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, with a couple of tips. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
You sent me this story with a couple of tips, and it dawned on me. Yeah, I mean, we jokingly say we live with our smartphones. I mean, there should be information on there that could well save your life, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are familiar with those medical ID bracelets, or even some people will carry bracelets or information on them. You hear them called ICE, or in case of emergency, emergency contacts, information about things like allergies, that sort of thing. Your phone actually has the capacity to, whether you have an iPhone or Android, to set up things like emergency contacts, that medical ID. And it's just a really quick thing. Unfortunately, a lot of people just kind of forget about it, or they say they'll get to it eventually. But now's the perfect time to go ahead and get those set up.
My wife, I've got a couple of medications that we follow, and I did put one of those on my smartphone, but after you sent me this, I thought, man, there's much more information I should put on there when it comes to contacts, too. Because, I mean, first responders, if they can, they can get some of this info off the smartphone, right?
Yeah, there's usually on the lock screen, they don't have to actually unlock the phone. There'll be an option on there to get them access to that. So it's just really great. As well as it also, a lot of apps that are designed to help protect you will use that contact information to automatically contact friends and family. I know that, for example, some apps that are designed to alert if there's a car crash or other things that they can detect will automatically reach that into that information. Again, it's just really simple to set it up. For example, on the iPhone, you're going to bring up the health app. Go ahead and you'll see that summary tab that comes up. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see your profile picture. Go ahead and click on that, and that's going to give you several options. One of the first one is medical details under your medical ID. You can go in there. It'll give you just a whole bunch of things that you can put in there, everything from your age, weight, height, all the blood type, the basic information, like you said, medications, allergies and reactions, medical conditions, as well as just putting in those emergency contacts. Really neat little thing in there as well, you know, for those people that do choose to do so, you can even register as an organ donor under straight underneath that profile.
I'm looking at the health app now. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Once you open it up, it's pretty easy to walk through it.
Yeah, you know, really, honestly, most people should, go ahead and open up that health app anyways and just get used to all the stuff that's actually in there. You know, it's just a really great resource for really your health in general, especially if you are somebody who has either, a activity tracker or an Apple Watch. That's really where you're going to have all of that information in one place, and it's just a really great way to get that in there. If you do have an Android phone, most of the in general, you should be able to open the Settings app and search for emergency information in that search bar at the top. One of the results will usually take you to the that appropriate section. Samsung users, for example, can open up their phone app, select contacts, and underneath their My Profile tab, they'll have all that information they want to include in there, including that medical information or contacts. Google Pixel 4 owners have a really interesting option under their built-in personal safety app. Once you set that up, again, that actually has the ability to do things like detect car crashes, call for help, provide that contact information. It's just amazing what's actually in there. And of course, you just want to go ahead and, you know, this is the time to get that set up now.
I'm doing it while we're talking. I mean, I'm three or four. I mean, seriously, it's that easy. Once you open the health app, again, on the iPhone, that's what I'm running. But I've already added a couple of steps with contacts for the wife. So that's I tell you what, this good little tips that might save your life one day. Good stuff. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. A couple of clicks, you can do the same thing on the health app on your phone. Derek, I thank you so much.
Thank you.
More chances today for your tickets for the Rolling Stones. Scooter's got Stones trivia coming up at 6:10.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, with reports from Fox News throughout the morning on WTAM 1100.
Tonight, the Conners will do it live, an episode of the Roseanne spinoff, which will incorporate actual live results from the New Hampshire primary as they happen. The sitcom is filmed in front of a live studio audience, and stars Laurie Metcalf and Sarah Gilbert also have live theater experience. Metcalf has two Tonys, but they tell me this is a lot different.
Well, theater is live. But you've rehearsed for 4 weeks and you know what you're doing, and it's not being recorded for posterity.
Yeah, no one can play back your mistakes.
Right.
Catch that live episode of The Conners tonight on ABC.
Welcome to the funeral.
Lil Wayne celebrating his funeral. His new album, Funeral, debuting at number one on the Billboard 200 album chart. It's the rapper's fifth number one. Last one was 2018's The Carter Five. And hopefully she's celebrating with some friends. Today is Jennifer Aniston's birthday. She's 51. And Grammy-winning singer Cheryl... Yay. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
I think Jennifer congratulated Brad Pitt on his AM 1100, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills, Mike alongside Terry Poto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Let's start with baseball. Before we get to Mike's love for this MLB proposal with the live reality show and other teams picking their opponents that they're going to be playing, that Snyder just seems to love.
Yeah, yeah.
Your scribbles a couple of days ago over the weekend, with pitchers and catchers reporting today, a lot of questions. Outfield, bullpen, I mean, you know, what will the Tribe do all spring, I guess, huh?
Yeah, when I go down there in the middle of March, there'll certainly be a chance to look at a whole bunch of different outfielders, and they'll be looking through, sorting through some pitchers, and you know, can Domingo Santana hit some home runs, and can friend Ray Reyes catch a fly ball? There'll be things like that. I mean, the nice thing is we are talking about a team that won 93 games, and I haven't looked in depth at the new playoff proposal for baseball. But one thing I do like is rules that set it up to prevent teams from just saying, I want to lose 120 games.
Yeah, that's, and we've seen that happen now.
Yes, a lot.
A lot more in baseball in the last couple of years. Yeah. Where, yeah, they basically have tanked out. I don't know, Terry, this proposal, I get it that they are looking to generate more television dollars.
Right.
Maybe the expansion. Actually, the Indians would have been in it last year. But the idea of the way they want to set it up is that besides the teams that have the best records, then the team with the next best record will get to choose who it wants to play in a wild card series. I can't see that flying.
No, that part I don't like at all. I mean, the Indians were the first team in the wild card era, which is 20-some years, to win 93 games and not make the postseason. Because some people have said, well, this is what is happening. Some of the win totals are being inflated because you have several teams that just want to lose over 100 games and get these draft picks and wait 15 years for them to make the majors. So I would like to kind of take that incentive away and keep teams at least thinking about the playoffs, but I don't necessarily want you to pick your opponent.
Just one more thing on the Tribe. Outfield, obviously, is where we'll be watching to see how that settles.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to figure out the bullpen, though, don't they, Terry?
That's phenomenal, because if you remember back during, especially during the Eric Wedge era and that part, say the first part of like 2000 to 2010, the bullpen was a big problem. You can go and the Joe Borowski's trying to save games and all these different guys. It really, that kind of happened once Francona came in. So they've made it look easy here. It's not.
Omar, Joe Borowski, 11th of February.
See, I should have said that. Tito always figures it out.
He does. Without Joe Borowski.
Without Joe, second time Joe Borowski's been mentioned this year. All right, let's move on to the Browns. Cleveland.com, your establishment, reporting Myles Garrett did meet with Roger Goodell Monday about reinstatement.
Yeah, and just fine. It's just say, Myles, you messed up. You did your suspension fine. Come back and play. I mean, that's it. Just don't mess up again, or not necessarily with anything off the field. You're good, because he had no problems in college, no problems before that. That should be it, but I guess they figure they have to go through this fake show.
And let's hope that he's reinstated in time for the off-season workouts.
Yeah.
Which I think, Terry, will be interesting this year to see if Mr. Beckham is attending those.
I am very curious, because they were talking kind of tough at those press conferences last week, they being Andrew Berry and Stefanski. Remember, like, we went smart, tough, and accountable players. Remember all that? Well, part of that would be showing up for your new coach at the voluntary workouts, because I think that set the whole tone for Beckham for the whole year, that I could kind of do it on my own or do my own thing. I recall him saying, "Oh, don't worry, I'll know all the plays. I can study them on the computer." He didn't know the plays.
He did not. Finally, Terry, the Cavaliers, just an ugly debut for Andre Drummond. He was okay, but they lose by 41. Your thoughts right now as this plays out now in front of us. They haven't won a home game since 2 days before Christmas.
Ooh, maybe it's something about 2020 is a problem. I did not realize that, Michael. All right, here's the serious thing on that. You have people paying money to see this garbage, and that's what that was. I was talking to Joe Tate, because he was at that game the other day.
Yes, he was.
It's like, you go, remember this, all the bad basketball Joe Tate saw.
Yes.
He never saw that.
That's true.
That was the worst home loss.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. 41, yep, exactly.
And then he said something along those lines, of all the games I've ever seen, with a couple adjectives in there, I've never seen that.
Alcorn's already called a record. You got to do another book, Modern Cavs, instead of Vintage Cavs, maybe.
Thanks a lot for that one.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Great follow on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Thanks, pal.
Take care.
Good Minutes.
On tech, agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad with me. Hi, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
You warned us. They had been warning us for a while about Windows 7, end of life officially mid-January. Maybe you got a laptop or something still running Windows 7, seeing some messages popping up. Give me a few tips here. What do we do?
Yeah, today is National Safer Internet Day, and if you do have that Windows 7 system, you may have been seeing these pop-ups warning you that Microsoft ended support for updates for Windows 7 January 14th. And that doesn't mean your computer is going to stop working. It doesn't mean it's going to immediately explode or anything. What it does mean, though, is that they are no longer going to give you any software updates or technical support through Microsoft themselves, unless you're one of their enterprise customers. Now, the thing with that, though, is that it is something that you are going to want to consider. The operating system, Windows 7, did come out 11 years ago. Now, your things like your antivirus programs, most of the antivirus manufacturers out there have said that they'll probably support your computer for about another 2 years. But again, that's just the thing where, because there are going to be no longer any updates when new vulnerabilities come out, new hacks come out, your computer itself may not be necessarily protected against those. So you may want to consider some options on that. Do you want to continue to use Windows 7, or do you want to consider moving on to Windows 10? Obviously, some people are going to question, can I go ahead and install Windows 10 on my current computer, or do I want to look at buying a new computer?
again, just like anything else, a lot of those Windows 7 systems, you know, they could be as old as 11 years now. Maybe one of those times that you may want to consider, may actually end up being technically cheaper for you in the long run, buying a brand new system, just because if your hardware is really on the old side, you're going to get a faster computer. You're going to have to less worry about those older components failing. So again, it's just something that you want to consider what your options are with that.
And you know, at some point, price does dictate so many things. And you know, I think I was reading a piece the other day about this on Windows 7. So many of these were laptops that, you know, maybe the kids were using or grandma and grandpa sure. had one. And, you know, all of a sudden you start having some problems with them. And you know, what point do you, you know, you pay to do the upgrade? Because, you know, as you say, you may not be able to upgrade to another a 10 without getting a whole new setup when it comes to a laptop. But you know, since you got that laptop with Windows 7, my goodness, prices have really come down in so many ways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other things is you can consider is that, you know, just as you said, if you've given that older laptop to the kids or to grandma, who may not necessarily need, you know, that full computer. They may just be the type of person who just want to, you know, get on the web, check email, that sort of thing, watch Netflix, whatever. You may want to consider even something like a Chromebook. You know, you can get Chromebooks now for less than $200. Great thing about those is that they're very secure in terms of how the operating system is set up. And they can actually do a fair amount of what most average people use their computer for today. So again, just one of those things where the computers themselves, you just want to consider exactly how you're using that. And then also consider what you want to do with your old computer, you know, if you are going to upgrade. You want to make sure that you back up any important data from that old computer. Go ahead and clear out the old data off of it. You can consider some options. We do have trade-in options through Best Buy. If you visit bestbuy.com/trade-in, there's an online calculator to see how much you may be able to get for that tech. For computers a little bit older, you may want to consider responsibly recycling it. We do have programs for that where we'll take in the computers. We'll help get wipe the data off of the system itself and responsibly recycle that actual computer itself.
Good tips, Agent Derek Meister. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. He'll tweet out a couple of links to help you on the what to do about the Windows 7 and some more stuff, too. Later today, we'll see it officially. A lot of buzz, though. Samsung, I guess what is old is new again, supposedly going to show off the Z Flip, a retro-looking clamshell-shaped flip phone, similar to the Galaxy Fold, I guess.
You know, this is the time of year where we always have new phones coming out, so absolutely visit BestBuy.com to see all the latest announcements from Samsung, as well as, like I said, pretty much this time of year is when we'll start seeing a bunch of new phones from all the different manufacturers.
First major tech show-off, I guess, for the year coming from Samsung today with the Galaxy, so we'll see. All right, Agent Derek Meister, Geek at the Geek Squad. Good stuff. Thanks, pal. 1100, complete Cavaliers coverage. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Your Morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank. We got Jim Jones with us. You know, Mike, the numbers don't lie. It was historic, a loss the other night. I mean, the big guy is here. We got to learn to play with him. Is that a highlight, maybe?
Yeah, Jim, it looked like they were almost trying too hard to accept Andre on board. They were just were kind of like zombies out there much of the night.
Yeah, they were thinking too much, Mike. And when you're playing with a dominating center, and let me define that, a guy that has a potential to change the course of the game. This kid is a little different. He is a hard worker. He is used to doing the dirty work. You don't have to feature him as much as you might have to if you had a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or a Shaq. He's the kind of player that'll go get the ball. He'll create situations because of his mobility to get down the floor. And you almost have to treat him just like a traditional role player. But we were trying to get the ball to him as the first and second options. And he's not used to that. And neither are we, because most of our players have never played with a dominating center, a center who can change the course of the game if he can get enough possessions and touches. So I thought probably the way to deal with him would be just to let him go out there and say, hey, just play basketball and we'll find you when we can. But our young players and even our veteran players were trying to force it to him, and he's not made like that. His fundamentals allow him to be a hustle player. He's like an athletic Tristan Thompson. You almost have to do that. And then when you have time, then you can feature him based on time and score. It's a little bit different philosophy than the traditional dominating player style.
Jim, we look at this team, and it has really been a struggle in many days at home. They haven't won a game at home in the new year. They get the Hawks tomorrow. But we look at things, and I know talking with you, of course, even on the postgame shows, they've had problems defensively, but so much of their defense really comes from the fact when they struggle on offense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and I think it's because of where we're at as a team. You know, we have a lot of kids who are trying to find themselves. And a lot of times when they make mistakes, the people that suffer most are your veteran players because they don't get the ball in a timely manner or they don't get it enough based on time and score. So it really ruffles things up. The key for us is a couple of things, is to just play, be patient, don't cloud your head, and pick up the pace of the game. You know, we don't score enough points because we don't consistently get up and down the floor and shoot early enough in the clock. You know, when you talk about picking up the pace, most of us think we just got a fast break. Well, no one could last in our league fatigue-wise if they played that way. But what it does mean is that when you get down to the end of the scoring side of the ball, you really have to shoot within anywhere between 8 and 10 seconds of the clock. And to do that, you have to have ball movement, you have to have cutters, and you have to have guys willing to make that extra pass.
Cavs Hawks tomorrow, then the All-Star break finally, right, guys? Okay. Yep. Finally, the All-Star break. Okay. All right, 8:28. Thank you, Jim Jones. Yep. We'll talk a little more sports with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com.
News you can use. News about your money.
On your money, this Bill Wills. Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday up 174 points. Futures up 10 points this morning. Those are the numbers. What's been affecting the market? Had a chance to have Jordan Goodman here with me at moneyanswers.com. Hi, Jordan.
Great to be with you, Bill.
I keep hearing coronavirus, and that's been a real effect to worry about the spread?
Really is. I mean, we have over 1,000 deaths now, most of them in China. Over 40,000 cases, and it's still growing a lot, although the pace of growth seems to be slowing a bit, and that's what Wall Street is encouraged by. When it first came out, the stock market dropped sharply, like, wow, is this going to be the Black Plague or something? And now it's growing, but it seems at a slower pace, and therefore there's some hope that they'll be able to get this thing under control.
It's interesting on how this story has affected industries and prices of things. I mean, commodities, oil, right. People looking at travel, and how will it affect the business cycle?
So oil is down to about $49 a barrel. It had been about 55 as we began the year. Interest rates, like the 10-year Treasury, started the year at about 1.9. Now it's about 1.5. That's the feeling that this is going to slow down world economic growth. And you're right. I mean, airlines have canceled flights to China. The casinos are closed. The supply chain is very much disrupted with these factories closed in China. So we don't know how long it's going to take, but it's clearly making a major hit to the U.S. economic, the worldwide economic growth as well.
MoneyAnswers.com, so many topics to help when it comes to saving money and investing and all. And just on the investing, I know you talk to a lot of people. I guess if you're comfortable with your plan, you could withstand something like the news of Corona.
Correct. You don't want to get shaken out of it. I mean, the similar example we had was in 2002, SARS. But that killed fewer people we've already had die here in this case. So it takes a hit, but eventually these things go away. So you don't want to be shaken out of your plan just because of something like this, even though it could be major. And certainly China's had a major, major hit. It really looks bad for them politically that they didn't tell people about this earlier. The doctor who warned them, they chastised them, then he died. That doesn't look good. You want to find out about public health emergencies right away.
MoneyAnswers.com. By the way, quick mention, I saw a great link to a site on credit cards and finding the best card you put up there for us, too.
Right. So that's myguidetocreditcards.com. There's some great cards out there. You have to go get them. And I get a lot of emails from your listeners. They want better credit cards than they've got today. The numbers just came out. Record amount of credit card spending in December. It was about $22 billion in new spending on credit cards in December.
Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com, great site to use, check out, and he always follows up. If you got a question, you can send him an email, too, that way. Jordan, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bill.